Good evening. Just so I won't forget, following this class, everyone is to go downstairs. There is a video from Apostle. Amen? All right. Everybody who can stand, let's just stand. If you got your Bibles handed, turn to Jude. Since this is a class on prayer, we're going to pray tonight. Amen. We're going to take just a few minutes, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, just to pray. When I use the term pray, I'm not only referring to praying in the understanding, but I'm also referring to praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. Amen. Jude 20. Let's read it. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving you praise, Lord. Internet students, join us. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Alala mahashaha. Arababa koshende debe here. Alala mahaha. Alala mahaha. Alala mahaha. Thank you, Lord. O rababa hashahaya. Alala makanda mahire besende debe de. O dende debe keshia. O dende debe keshia. O dende debe keshinda rabaha. Amamama mande de de de. Amamama mande de de de. Glory to God. Glory to God. Alala Mahaya. Alala Mahaya. Alala Mahaya. Ihiro Bosokonda Rabaha. Ihiro Bosokotanda Rabaha. Amababa Bahashaha. Ah, Rababa Baba Bakashaha. Ah, Rababa Baba Bakashaha. Alala Monda Day. Alala Monda Day. Alala Monda Day. Oh, Roboboko Shatahaya. Elele mahaha, elele mokoshaha, ololo mokotanda rabahaya. Amen de rebede, amen de rebede, amen de rebede. Glory to God, glory to God, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to assemble ourselves, Father, to hear your word, to have you, Father God, to reveal to us secrets concerning prayer, secrets concerning communing with you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to say and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Glory, 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 glory. Okay, I'm going to take my watch off so that I can look at it. Amen, amen, amen. On last week, I shared about effective prayer. I'm trying to focus primarily on your book, and I do have it. I do have it. Tonight we're going to be looking at, I'm reviewing for my own purpose, reviewing some of the chapters that you probably have already gone over. Last week it was primarily from chapter 1. This week it's from chapter 2. I've gotten that question a couple times on the internet. You know, where are you? Okay. So tonight it'll be from chapter 2. And from time to time I will be bringing in other material. It won't always be from your book. I'll try to remember to let you know where it's coming from and when it's not in the book. For example, last week I began with James, chapter 5. Remember that? Well, that wasn't in chapter 1 in your book at all. But I just felt that, you know, starting with the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, just reminding you that you are the righteous. Amen? That you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that when you pray, amen, tremendous power is available. This is what you have to know. Amen? You know, you're just not uttering words. You're talking to your Father. He hears. He answers. Because tremendous power is available when you pray. Amen? So tonight, chapter 2 talks about what is the purpose of prayer. And you might say, well, that sounds so similar when you were talking about the reasons. Well, tonight the author was talking about the purpose of prayer. And what he shared, it was, I guess, interesting, enlightening, that's the word, enlightening to me. He said, people do not understand the purpose of prayer. In order to understand purpose, you have to know what purpose is, just the word purpose. And I've heard our apostle, you know, talk about purpose. And the definition that the author gave was the original intention for which something was created. And our apostle says, you know, the original intent. So in understanding the purpose of prayer, you want to ask yourself, what was God's original intent for prayer? And in order to understand original intent, you know, you got to go back to the beginning. You know, well, what did God say? Why did he do this? You know, last week we talked about that intimate relationship with God and how, you know, that's the fundamental reason, you know, that we pray. Said that people do not pray because they don't see satisfactory or positive results. Amen. That's why some people don't pray, you know, because number one, they don't understand purpose. And number two, when they do pray, they don't see satisfactory or positive results. God is a God of purpose. Amen. God is a God of purpose. And, you know, we want to, I guess, gain an understanding of who God is. And when we gain that understanding, you know, then, you know, we will be guided to the purpose of prayer. You know, you got to know God. And the only way that you're really, really going to get to know God and have an intimate relationship with God is spending time with God. Amen. Spending time in prayer. And when I'm saying prayer, remember, not just in the understanding, but praying in the Holy Ghost the way we did tonight. It's something about praying in the Holy Ghost. As I was preparing for the class all week, my knees are not shaking as much as they did last week, but, you know, they're still a little shaky. You know, and I begin to just think about, you know, God's purpose in prayer and the importance of prayer. And again, begin to gain an understanding. Our apostle is teaching us on the kingdom of God right now. And I guess I began to understand that prayer is the language of the kingdom. Amen? like English is the language of the United States. If you really want to communicate with the kingdom of God, talking about the kingdom of God, you will have to pray. Amen. And praying in the spirit is the most effective. You can pray and understand it, but you know what's going to happen. Pretty soon you're gonna run out of, you know, what it is that I'm supposed to be saying. But when you praying in the spirit, when you're praying in tongues, you can go on and on and on. Amen. And God understands that. And heaven understands that. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, I'm going to pray with the spirit and I'm going to pray with the understanding. And he said, when I'm praying in the spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand it, but heaven understands it. Hallelujah. It's the heaven language. It's the language of heaven. And the more we spend time with God in prayer, Jude 26, well, number one, we're building ourselves up. And then we're getting to know God more intimately. And then God begins to reveal his secrets to us. Amen. You know, I often hear people sometimes say, well, you know, God never talks to me. Yes, he talks to you. Yes, he does. But we have to train and develop our born-again, recreated human spirits to hear God. You know, so often, you know, we pray in the spirit. I'm talking about in the spirit. But we never pause. I've heard our man of God tell us that. You know, you got to pause sometime. And you got to listen, you know, to what he's saying. Sometimes it's that still small voice on the inside of you. Sometimes it's just a knowing. You know, you're praying about something, and then all of a sudden, you just know what you need to do. Amen? You know, that's that answer. You know, tremendous power is available. The author talks about, you know, in order to understand the purpose of prayer, you have to understand why God created man. You know, why did he do that in the beginning? What are the main reasons why God created man? Number one, man was created to reflect God's nature and to have a close relationship with him. Amen? Man was created to reflect God's nature and to have a close relationship with him. I think it's over in 1 Peter. You know, he writes talking about that divine nature. You know, we were made in the, well, and that's our verse, in the image and the likeness of God. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning. We're trying to understand the purpose of prayer. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let me go to the King James. This may be a different translation. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Amen. I think it was on Sunday, our apostle had us underline every time they had over. And I think somebody said they had it like one, two, three, four, they said seven, looks like somebody, seven times, you know. So man was created to be over everything that God made. Everything that God made. That was God's original intent. You know, that we're supposed to have his nature and we're supposed to have dominion over everything that he created. Glory to God. God created us to reflect his character, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his righteousness, his peace, his authority, and his power. We are supposed to be a reflection. Amen. These things can never be evident unless a close relationship with God exists. Amen. You know, you're not going to be able to have compassion unless you spend time with God. You know, because in this world, every day somebody's, you know, trying to take it out of you. Amen. You know, you might say, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a walking love. I'm a walking love. Yeah. I give you 10 steps before somebody is going to say something or do something that's going to, you know, to cause you to maybe walk out of that. But amen. But the more we spend time with God, then the more we begin to understand who he is and what he's like. And then we begin to reflect. You know, the more we spend time with him. And I think the only reason we're not doing it is because we haven't spent enough time. That's not to say we haven't spent time, but we haven't spent enough time. And that goes for every one of us. And what we're learning, you know, through our apostle right now, you know, he's teaching us about the kingdom, and he's teaching us about the importance of our relationship with God. And I want you to know the prayer life here at Word of Life Christian Center has been taken up a couple notches. You know, we're praying every morning. Like I told y'all last week, every morning at 6 a.m., there are people coming here. They're assembling here. Nobody is making them do it. Amen? And everybody's talking about what a difference it's beginning to make in our lives. We're seeing things different. We're understanding things different because we're spending time with God. Amen? That's the only reason we're spending more time. We're spending more quality time, more intimate time, more fervent prayer with God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about, you know, reflecting, you know, all of these different qualities of God. God created humanity to fulfill his plans, his purpose, and his will on earth. Man is created with the ability to function on earth, thus giving him the legal right, the freedom, and the authority to operate in it and to have lordship over all creation. That sounds like a lot, but that's the same thing I just said in the beginning, you know, talking about that dominion. Everything he created, he put man in charge of it, okay? And this is why it's so important, you know, for us to spend time with God. God created man to have dominion over all things, as we saw, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. How did God give man the ability to take dominion? God created man with a spirit that came directly from him. Amen? The Bible tells us, and he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul, right? Amen. He became alive when God began to breathe. Hence, the human race had no choice but to govern the physical world. God gave man a physical body. If something does not have a body, now you ought to say soul, but I'm going to say spirit. Amen. If it doesn't have body and spirit in the earth realm, it is illegal. Amen. You know, we know animals have bodies, but they don't have spirits. Hallelujah. So if an animal tries to take dominion in the earth realm, it is illegal. You know, God has created man, you know, to be in charge, to have dominion. Because of this, God had to come to earth, think about it, in a physical body for it to be legal. That's the only way it could be legal was for him, because that's what he said in the beginning. You know, that's the way God set it up. Three things God established from the beginning as found in Genesis 1:26. Number one, God is sovereign, as his word is sovereign. Nobody above him. Amen? Nobody above him. Glory to God. No power greater than his power. God limits himself with his word. You know, it's whatever he said. Yes, that's it. You know, I said it, and that's the way it is. Glory to God. And he never, number two was he limits himself with his word. And number three, God never violates his own word. Everything that God declares becomes law. It becomes law. Amen? God established in his word that for something to be done on earth, it must be done through a physical body and through the spirit. Amen? Everything that's being done here on earth. You know, I've heard our man of God, you know, tell us, and I don't know if it was Smith Wigglesworth or not, so don't quote me. But he said that this man of God, this general, he said, it seems that nothing can be done on earth unless some man or some woman asks God. Amen? And so sometimes the reason some things are not being done is because, you know, we're not asking. You know, this physical body, this man and this spirit, you know, we're not asking God, or we're not asking according to God's word, or we're not asking in line with God, with what God is speaking. Amen. That's the only reason. And then sometimes we just get too busy. You know, yeah, I'm gonna do it. We don't pray for people. Every now and then, you know, God might put a burden for somebody. Do you know that if you don't stop and pray for that person, then maybe nobody else will? Yeah. Amen. You know, and this is where we are right now. This is, you know, I said in one of the classes, the pastor was talking about, you know, this time and where we are and what God is ready to do through us. Amen. But we have to be prayed up, and we have to be ready so that when God speaks to us, we're going to be ready to move. Amen. We are going to be ready to move. And I thank God for you as students and alumni that's here, because, you know, you're getting this fresh. Hallelujah. You know, for a long time, you know, I heard the pastor say, you know, about the paradigm and then the old paradigm and the way we used to think about things. You know, this is, I guess for God, it's not new, but it's new to us. Amen. Hallelujah. It is new to us. God became Emmanuel. That means God with us. Amen. So that physical body that I was telling you about, that physical body, God is unable to interfere in any situation on earth without the prayer of the believer. Prayer is the equivalent of man giving God the legal right to do his will on earth. When we pray, it gives God the legal right to take action on earth. So that's why he needs us to pray. Amen? He needs us to pray. God is looking for someone who lives in a physical body to stand in the gap for his people and pray. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And it reads, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But then look at that last phrase, "but I found none." Amen. God is looking for someone who lives in a physical body to stand in the gap for his people and pray. We must remember that we are co-laborers together with God. When God asks you to do something, you do not have to do it alone. Amen. The scripture that your author gave was 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, this is the one that I like. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. "For we are laborers together with God." Amen. For we are laborers together with God. We need God, and God needs that physical body with that spirit. Amen? So, you know, we don't have to do it by ourselves. He's there to help us. He's there to empower us. And this is another one I just threw out. From time to time, I'm just going to be throwing out prayer scriptures, you know, that's been given to us that we know. So here's one of those, Luke 11:1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, talking about Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And it says, your author says, the disciples only asked one thing of Jesus. It was to teach them how to pray. Amen. That's all they asked. Teach us how to pray. They did not ask to be taught how to perform miracles or how to cast out demons. They asked to be taught how to pray. Isn't that amazing? You know, you think if you had Jesus right there, you would be asking him, oh my, how did you get the money out of the fish mouth? Show me how to do that. Show me how to do that. How did you multiply that bread? Show me that, you know. No, they said, they only asked the one thing, and it was, Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen. Jesus' secret to the success of his ministry was his prayer life. You know, my grandma, y'all gonna hear me say grandma a lot too. My grandma used to say, if Jesus had to pray, then what about me? That might have been a little song or something. I don't know, you know, but if Jesus had to pray. So Jesus prayed. And when you read the Gospels, Jesus prayed often and Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus prayed in various positions. You know, he might have been kneeling, he might have been standing, he might have been prostrate. The Bible speaks of all of this. And your book talks about it in chapter 1. Amen. But, you know, Jesus prayed. And it also says he prayed that, you know, people want to know, well, should I pray in the morning? Should I pray at noon? Or should I pray at night? Jesus prayed all different times. Amen. It's up to you. It's up to you. We pray in the morning here, though. Amen. We pray in the morning. Our apostle said we're going to pray in the morning, so we pray in the morning. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus spent hours doing one thing and only seconds doing another. Now, this was good. He spent hours doing one thing and seconds doing another. Your author says Jesus prayed 5 hours and later only needed 2 seconds to heal a blind man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He prayed. And if this is what he did, if this is the secret to his ministry, then what is that telling us? You know, if we want to do the works, you know, he says, and the works that I do, you know, that you'll do even greater works than these. You know, that's what he was saying. But he prayed hours and hours. And then when he prayed and he came out, all he had to do was just speak. And whatever he spoke, it happened. Amen. And as we begin to develop our prayer lives, it's not going to take us 6 months no more. Amen. It's not going to take us even 6 weeks. You know, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving. We might start off with 6 months, some of us 6 years. Amen. Hallelujah. And we might start off that way. But what we're headed, you know, we're talking about 6 seconds, 6 minutes. Amen. And, you know, we're going to be so intimately related to God that, you know, when it comes out, you know, it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. I wanted to share something with y'all. You know, years ago when I told you I realized I didn't know how to pray, and then I started learning how to pray, I began to use my imagination. Now, this was before Apostle began to tell us about our imagination being part of our soul. I didn't know that then. But I would imagine certain things. I would close my eyes and I would begin to pray and I would see myself. You know, the Bible talks about it, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So I close my eyes and I see myself going through the gates. And then it said, into his courts with praise. And I see myself going into the courts. And then I see myself going into the Holy of Holies. Amen. And I see myself. I mean, this is what I had to do. I mean, not everybody had to do this. I had to do this to begin to learn and train myself to pray. And then I read in the book of Esther, and I'll just share that with y'all. This was years ago. You know, when Esther needed Mordecai, her uncle said, I need you to go and talk to the king. You know, you couldn't just go talk to the king. You just couldn't go in there any kind of way. The king had to invite you in. Amen. And if the king did not invite you in, I mean, you could lose your life. You know, that's what I read. That's what I read. So in the book of Esther, it talks about, you know, when the king, if he wanted to see you, he would raise his scepter. Amen. So that's what Esther did. You know, she went on in, and I mean, I know Esther was praying because she did not want to lose her life. She didn't know if he was going to raise the scepter and say, come on in. I think for us sometimes when we praying, amen, we reach a point where God raises the scepter. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, come on in. And you know what happened when the king invited Esther to come on in? What happened? He said, what you want? Yeah. Amen. And Esther began to tell him what she wanted. And didn't she get it? Yeah. Amen. And that's the way it's going to begin to happen for us. As we begin to spend more time, hallelujah, with God in prayer, the scepter is going to be. And you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know it. You know, we have corporate prayer. And every now and then, you know, we know. We, you know, and our apostle come out, he say, we in there. We in there. And you'll just know it. And it's at that point in prayer, he's saying, come on in. Come on in. What you want. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to tell you some things that you can begin to decree. Things you can begin to declare. Things that you can begin to ask for. And guess what? You will receive them. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is so good. He is so good, so gracious. And he has been longing, I believe this, he has been longing for this day where his children are beginning to learn how important it is to seek him first. Hallelujah. Seek him first. Don't worry about all of that. You know, Matthew chapter 6, as we tell us, he said, I know you got need of all of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Seek ye first. That's all. It's all about him. That's all about him. And when we begin to realize that, it's going to begin to happen. Hallelujah. Hours spent with God make the time we spend with people more effective. More time you spend with God, more effective you're going to become with people. Amen. I forgot. And he was saying, remember I told you that Jesus spent hours in prayer and only seconds? He says, we the church do things the other way around. We spend a few minutes with God, hallelujah, and later take many hours ministering to the people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. No. I mean, we are to reflect God. Amen. And so if that's what Jesus did, then that's what we're going to do too. We're going to begin to spend more time in prayer, and then we won't have to take as long with the people. Amen. The time that we spend with God is not wasted. It is invested. Jesus' first priority was not in ministering to men. See that? I didn't know that. You know, he said, I came to serve. He says, Jesus' first priority was not in ministering to men, but to God. Amen? I mean, he prayed. He spent time with God. And then he became more effective in his ministry to men and to women. What is needed for God to do his will on earth? And the author only said, a man, a woman that is available. Amen. A man or a woman that is available. Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Amen. I hope that's your heart cry tonight. Lord, here am I. Send me. You will become more effective as you begin to spend that quality time in prayer with God. Amen. You will begin to reflect His image and His likeness. And this is what God wants in this day and in this time. God is, I'm not going to say just ready. He is more than ready. He has been longing for this day and this time. And I was just so happy to hear Pastor Phillips say, you know, and we are the generation. We are the generation. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you've said this night. We thank you, Lord God, that our hearts and our minds are turned towards you, Lord God. We trust your Holy Spirit to unfold and to reveal and to help us to become more effective in our prayer lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is right or not. Is it right? Okay. All right. Amen. Be blessed.